Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for your support. You can support the program at support.greatdetectives.net. While we continue on with the cui bono matter, part 3 and part 4. So let's go ahead and take a listen.
From Hollywood, it's time now for...
Johnny Dollar.
This is Tom Bates.
Oh, how are you?
Dr. Prehley just called me, Mr. Dollar. He says you've been threatening him.
Oh, I wouldn't call it a threat, Mr. Bates. I simply told him that if he won't let me question Miss Parker, then I'll have to get a court order to do it anyway.
Well, as acting county attorney here, I think I could block that order, Mr. Dollar.
Maybe, but I doubt if it would be a very smart move.
Now, you look here. She's in no shape to answer questions. She's under doctor's care.
It's been 5 days now since the shooting.
She's still very upset, nervous. She might say things that could be misconstrued, that she didn't mean.
Oh, what things?
How would I know?
I just thought you might. Since you've already questioned her once, right after she killed her father, wasn't she upset then? Did she say anything you misconstrued?
I'm warning you, Dollar.
And I'm warning you. I'm going to talk to that girl one way or another.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Green Pass, Virginia, to the home office, Surety Mutual Insurance Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the cui bono matter. Cui bono, Latin for who benefits. Item 8, $1. Transportation out to Sammy Drake's Happy Hollow Roadhouse on the highway north of town. On the way there, I thought over what I'd learned so far, and I realized it wasn't much. On the face of it, the thing was simple enough, no mystery at all. 5 nights ago, Dan Parker, the local county attorney, had returned from a business trip and entered his sleeping house. His adopted daughter, Luann, mistaking him for a prowler, had shot him to death in the darkness. There it was, an accident, pure and simple. The coroner said so, the sheriff agreed, and the whole town was determined to keep it that way. But I still couldn't buy it quite that easily. Not when there was a $100,000 life insurance policy payable to Luann Parker, the girl who'd pulled the trigger. Maybe I'd find some answers at the roadhouse. The Happy Hollow was like 1,000 other places of its kind. A neon-lighted barn set 50 yards off the road. Inside, a jukebox, a raucous bar, and a scattering of tables around a splintery dance floor. Saturday nights, a four-piece band. Probably a game or two going on in the back room, and whatever else the local sports might demand. It was early yet, and the joint hadn't started to jump.
What's the word, Mac?
Save your money and buy booze.
Yeah, man. Out of town, huh?
Depends on which town.
Any town but this one, man. Here it's for the birds.
Oh, I don't know. Looks to me like you got a good setup here.
I'm eating. But it ain't easy, man. It's rough.
Oh, it'll be rougher, Sammy, with a new county attorney.
What's the pitch, Mitch?
That's your name, isn't it? Sammy Drake?
That's a crime, maybe?
Oh, it might be. I don't know yet.
You with the feds?
No.
Syndicate man?
No, I'm an insurance investigator.
Insurance? You mean protection?
Not the kind you're talking about, Sammy. I'm here in connection with Dan Parker's death.
You mean you're legit?
That's right.
Well, tie me up and mail me off. I thought you were somebody putting a bite on me.
I am.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got some questions, Sammy, and I want some answers.
About that Parker rubber?
Right.
Well, you're out of luck, Chuck. I don't know nothing from nothing about nothing. See what I mean?
I got reason to think different.
How so? Somebody been passing the word?
Maybe.
Two get you five. It was that Bates character. Am I in?
I couldn't say.
Sure it was. The new county attorney. He's got a big deal now. And he'd give his left eyeball to put the finger on me.
Why so? Why has he got it in for you, Sammy?
Because he thinks his doll has been...
You mean the Parker girl?
I forget.
You want to do it the hard way, Sammy?
No speaking English.
I can get Tom Bates to issue a warrant, you know. He'd love to have that chance. So you can either talk to me here and now, or you can talk to him and the sheriff in the basement of the courthouse.
Rough and tough, huh?
If that's what it takes, yes.
Come on back to the office.
All right.
What'd you say your name was, Buzz?
I didn't. It's Dollar, Johnny Dollar.
Dollar, huh?
Yeah, it rhymes with collar.
I always like to be wise to who's putting the slug on me. Come on in.
Thanks.
How about a drink?
No, not now, thanks.
Well, I guess I'll have a short one for my health. You hungry? Like a steak?
Later, maybe.
They're the most. This is a crummy joint, strictly for the sticks, but the food's good. Well, here's a go.
Yeah.
Maybe you think I'm trying to stall.
I know you are, Sammy.
No, not really. Not now, anyway. Because when I stop and think about it, I can't see where I got anything to worry about. You see what I mean?
You haven't, unless you had something to do with Dan Parker's death.
Now, let's relax, Max. The way I get the word, nobody had anything to do with it except that doll.
Could be.
Could be nothing. Did she blast him or didn't she?
Apparently she did.
Thought he was a burglar. That's a rich one. And she's halfway right at that.
Meaning?
Look, Dollar, I'm on a level with you. If you got any idea that I wanted Dan Parker knocked off, you're way out there. You want to know why?
I can probably guess.
I'll tell you why. He was my fix in this town. 3 years I've had this place open, and I've never been touched. So why would I want to put myself out of business?
Oh. How much was the payoff?
$1,500 a month.
Maybe you figured you could make a better deal with somebody else.
Yeah? Who? Not with that stuffed shirt Bates. He's just been itching to get at me. But Parker kept the lid on him.
How about the sheriff?
Who knows? I'm going to give him a pitch, of course. It's my only chance now to stay in business. But I don't know if he'll play. See what I mean?
All right, Sammy. Let's go back to the question I asked you outside there. Why does Bates have it in for you?
Because he's got the drooling goose for that Parker kid. And he didn't like it much when she kept hanging around me.
How'd you feel about it?
You want the truth? I didn't like it much either.
Why not?
She was too wired up. And spoiled. Used to getting her own way. Oh, this town's treated her like a queen or something. She figured she could do as she pleased. Well, that don't go in a joint like this.
What do you mean?
Well, these lads come in here, get a few shots under their belt. Dame like that starts to mean trouble. I didn't want her hanging around. I had a good thing going here, and I wasn't about to get a lost step. But it was no use. I couldn't keep her out.
What did her father think about it?
He didn't like the idea, but he couldn't do much about it. She got her own way with him, the same as with everybody else.
Except when she wanted to go to New York.
Well, nobody can win them all.
I understand you put that idea in her head, Sammy.
Then you better take a different understanding.
Yeah?
Yeah. She was bugged up on that idea before I ever met her. That's why she started coming in here. She wanted me to put her hep on how it was in the big, wild city. She wanted to know how to get in. What was the names of all the spots, including the rough ones? How the rackets worked. How would I know how the rackets work?
I didn't say a word, Sammy.
You know something? In some ways, that kid's as smart as a mink. But underneath, she's a regular hick, just like the rest of them around here. She thinks that stuff is glamour, the big time, hot stuff. And she was busting her braces to get at it. Even this place, this crummy clip joint. To her, it was wicked and exciting. Oh, man, how square can you get?
I suppose you're trying to talk her out of going to New York.
Do I look crazy or something? I was all for it anywhere. As long as it got her off my neck.
Oh, a beautiful girl like Lou Ann Parker on your neck and you were trying to shake her off? Oh, Sammy, I'm losing you.
Oh, look, Dollar, when it comes to dames, I've got as fast an eye as the next guy, but with that chick, oh, man, I unpack my toothbrush and I stay home.
Why?
Why? She's got this whole town fooled. Everybody but me. A sweet little thing in ruffled rompers, bucking for a halo. Well, I got news for you, brother. She ain't.
And you're the only one who really knows her. Is that what you're claiming, Sammy?
Sure. It's a big laugh. But that kid's smart. And inside, she's colder than a fish. I'm a fairly tough baby, Dollar, but I'll tell you something straight. I'm scared of that girl.
Expense account item 9, $6.90. Steak and incidentals at the Happy Hollow Roadhouse. And Sammy Drake was right. The steak was good. Item 10, $1.75. Transportation out to the Green Pass Railroad Depot, 3 miles east of town. I tried to see that night station agent earlier in the day, but he was sleeping then. But it was nearly midnight now, and I figured he'd be on duty. He was. Good evening, sir.
Hold it, son. Got a message come in here. Yes, sirree. Old number 8's going to be right on time.
I'm glad to hear it. I want to...
Hold it, son. Got to answer it, you know. Mighty important business getting these here trains through.
Yes, I imagine it is.
Hold it! Yes, sir. Right on time. Be here in about 2 minutes now. Well, son, what's on your mind?
I wondered if you were on duty the night Dan Parker got back in from Richmond. The night he was killed.
Oh, yes, indeedy. You must be that fella Sheriff Jim Peterson was telling me about. That fella from the insurance company.
Yes, that's right.
Well, then I guess it's all right to talk to you. Leastwise, that's what Jim said.
Nice of him.
It's a mighty terrible thing. A downright tragedy for that poor motherless girl. Making a mistake like that, shooting her own father.
Yeah, rough deal. Did you notice Mr. Parker when he got off the train that night?
Why, of course I did. I always notice anybody getting off. It's part of my job, son.
Yeah, well,
It was right about this same time of night. He come in on number 8, the same one that's due in now.
Did you talk with him?
Of course I talked with him. I know Dan Parker since we're both pups. He said, "Hi, Willie." I said, "Fine." And he said, "How's the family?" And I said, "Fine." And he said, "Well, you know, we talked. We had to talk more or two, but there's some fellow with him."
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
I reckon it was just some passenger he'd struck up the time of day with. Dan was all... There. You hear that, son? She's coming across the Briar Creek Bridge right now. Right on time,
too. Well, look, what happened to this stranger? Did he and Dan Parker leave the station together?
Oh, no. No, they just talked while the engine was taking on water. The fella got back on the train before it pulled out. He's just going through.
Did you hear what they were talking about?
No, can't say that it did, son. Most likely didn't amount to nothing, though.
No, I suppose not.
By golly, I did hear one thing.
Oh, what?
Just when the train was starting up, the fella leaned out and yelled, "Thanks a lot, I'll be seeing you." Dan just grinned, waved back, and went on down the platform to the telephone booth.
You don't know what he meant by that remark.
Oh, nothing, more than likely. Just one of them things you say, you know. But that's life for you, because he won't be seeing him after all. Say, she's coming around the bend there, son. I gotta get the mail sack out. You got any more questions? You're going to have to ask them on a run. The mail's got to get through. Oh,
I wouldn't think of stopping it. Hey, look, you said Dan Parker made a call from that telephone booth over there. You know who he talked to?
Nobody, son.
What do you mean?
Well, he come back and said he had a busy signal. I guess he'd have to walk home. And that's what he done. That was his mistake.
That was one of them anyway.
You got any more questions? I reckon he'll have to wait.
I haven't got any more.
How's that, son?
I said thanks a lot.
Now, what for?
Well, there you got me. I don't know. Johnny Dollar.
Tom Bates, Mr. Dollar.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Bates. There's nothing like starting the day with a good fight.
That is not my intention at all.
Good. I was beginning to think you went around in a permanent state of belligerency.
Only when I see a so-called insurance investigator out to frame an innocent girl.
Anybody I know?
Look, Dollar, will you be available at 2 this afternoon to interview Miss Parker?
I've been available for 2 days. She's the one who hasn't been.
She was in no condition to see anyone. However, Dr. Praley is releasing her in an hour, and she's going on home.
All right. Tell her I'll see her at 2.
It won't be necessary to tell her. You'll go out there with me, and you'll talk to her in my presence.
Like that, huh?
You can take it or leave it.
Oh, I'll take it, Mr. Bates. And you know something? I think I'll still be able to tag her.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. From Special Investigator Johnny Dollar, location Green Pass, Virginia, to the Home Office, Surety Mutual Insurance Limited, Hartford, Connecticut. Assignment, the Cui Bono matter. Expense account continued. Item 12, $1.80 for a late and leisurely breakfast in the hotel coffee shop. Leisurely because I had nothing to do but kill time. I'd covered every possible lead I could think of, and the result, zero. The simple facts of the case were that Dan Parker, the local county attorney, had returned unexpectedly from a business trip late at night, and at his darkened home, and had been shot to death as a prowler by his daughter, Luann. Coroner's verdict, accidental death. Amount of insurance, $100,000. Beneficiary, Luann Parker.
Why don't you give up, Dollar? Admit you're wrong.
Wrong about what?
About thinking you've got a chance of beating Miss Parker out of her insurance money.
Oh, so that's what I'm trying to do, huh?
That's what your company pays you for, isn't it? To find some angle, some technicality that they can use to break the claim?
No, they pay me for the unpleasantness of having to put up with bullheaded acting county attorneys, Mr. Bates.
Sure. You'd a lot rather question that girl without me being around.
Bates, I'd rather do anything without you being around.
Well, the feeling is mutual.
I just can't quite figure you. Usually, I get complete cooperation from the local prosecutor's office. But you've tried to block every move I've made here.
I'm protecting Miss Parker's rights, that's all.
Her rights haven't been challenged. I'm not out to get her. If I'm convinced that she's innocent and that her claim is legitimate, I'll report it that way. All the company wants is the facts. Look, I'm not hired as a claim breaker. And of course you know that. You've dealt with insurance cases before. So I wonder what the real reason is for your attitude.
Suppose you tell me.
Well, you're in love with her, of course, and that itself could be the explanation. Or maybe it's only part of it.
Meaning what?
Maybe you know more about it than you've admitted. Maybe you know she's guilty and are trying to cover up for her.
I know she's innocent, sir.
Or it's possible your motives are a little more selfish. Maybe she's covering up for you.
What do you mean by that?
It's that old Latin phrase, qui bono, who benefits? Who gains through Parker's death? His daughter does. Of course, she gets the insurance. But so do you, Bates.
In what way?
Well, you got Parker's job, didn't you? And along with it, the chance to run Sammy Drake out of town without Parker stopping you. And in the long run, if Luann marries you, you'll get a good part of the insurance.
Are you accusing me of murder?
No, just speculating. But it's an interesting possibility. Don't you think so? Any particular subjects I should avoid, Mr. Bates?
Ask anything you want. As long as I'm here to advise her.
Oh, hello, Tom.
Luann, this is Mr. Dollar from the insurance company.
How do you do, Miss Parker?
Mr. Dollar, won't you come in?
Thank you.
I guess we better go in the study. Mary's cleaning the living room. In here. Just sit down anywhere.
How do you feel, Luann?
Oh, I'm all right now. For a few days after it happened, I couldn't feel anything but horror, self-loathing. I wanted to kill myself. But the last 2 days, I've done a lot of thinking about what Daddy'd say if he was still here. He was a wonderful man, Mr. Dollar.
Yes, the whole town seems to agree on that.
I'd give my life gladly to change what happened. But it can't be changed. Daddy used to say, Luann, remorse is only self-pity in disguise. The future's a question mark. All you have is the present, so live it. He believed in those ideas, Mr. Dollar. And I'm going to try to live my life by those beliefs. Because I loved him very much.
Miss Parker, I have a few things I'd like to ask you in order to complete my report. Do you feel up to answering some questions?
Yes, of course. Whatever you wish.
I insisted, Luann, that I be present during this interview.
Why, Tom?
His job is to save money for the insurance company. He'll try to trip you up, lead you into saying things you don't mean. Things that could be misinterpreted.
Tom, that's ridiculous. I've nothing to hide.
Of course, hon. But he'll make it seem as if you do.
I'd say you're making it seem that way, and for no more reason than just a silly kind of suspicion.
Luann.
Mr. Dollar, would you rather talk to me alone?
I think it would work out a little better that way.
Tom, it's been nice to see you.
I'm not leaving.
Yes, you are leaving. Right now.
Honey, you don't...
I said now.
All right, darling. I guess you will.
Phone me later, Tom.
Sure, Luann.
He's nice. He means well, but sometimes he can be an awful idiot.
Oh, his actions are fairly normal. For a man in love.
Or one who thinks he's in love.
It usually adds up to the same thing. Cigarette, Miss Parker?
Oh, thank you. Well, what is it you'd like to know, Mr. Dollar?
First, let me tell you a few things. I've talked to quite a number of people during the last 2 days. They all worship you. In fact, only one person in the whole town said anything against you. And he's a man whose word on anything would be a little questionable.
Sammy Drake, I suppose.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what he said, but I imagine he thought he was being honest. You see, Sammy's never understood me at all, and I guess I have given him a kind of a bad time.
How do you mean?
By pretending to take him seriously. Most people seem to think of me as a child, Mr. Dollar, but actually in my attitudes and awareness, I'm quite a lot older than my age.
Of course.
And I saw right through Sammy the first time I met him. He's just a silly little would-be tough, but he likes to think of himself as a smooth, wicked mobster type. So I pretend to go along with it, even put on an act of my own in return. And what do you think happened?
You had another Tom Bates situation on your hands.
Sure. Sammy took me seriously. Well, I didn't want any part of that, so of course I ran for cover. And he has never forgiven me.
Well, I guess you can stand having one detractor, Miss Parker. You got a big team on your side.
I like people. I guess that's why they usually like me. I've had a wonderful life, Mr. Dollar. And I'm very grateful, especially to Daddy. He did everything possible to make me happy. I think if I'd asked for the moon, he'd have tried to get it for me.
There was one thing, though, that I understand you disagreed on.
You mean my wanting to go to New York?
That's right.
I guess the only arguments we ever had was over that. If I'd only known how short a time he was going to be with me, Well, it didn't matter that much. I felt I was right that the only reason he was against the idea is because he still thought of me as a child.
Parents usually do that.
I know. And it just didn't matter enough to hurt him when he had so little time. But you can't go back.
I wonder if you would try to go back for just a moment, Miss Parker, and tell me in your own words just what did happen that night.
Well, Daddy had gone to Richmond on business. None of us expected him back that night.
All right, go on.
Well, Mary, she's our housekeeper. She went to bed early. I read till about 11, then I went to bed. And shortly after midnight, something woke me. A noise down on the terrace. I looked down from my window, and I saw sort of a dark shape slip across the terrace toward the back of the house. I was scared stiff. I'd heard prowlers outside twice before during the past month.
Yes, the sheriff told me you didn't.
Yes, well, I realized it was up to me, because Mary would have just gone to pieces if I'd waked her. All I could think of was getting to the phone down at the bottom of the stairs. When I started out of my room, I could hear somebody fooling with the lock on the back door. And that's when I thought of the gun.
Where was it?
In the drawer of the night table beside my bed. Daddy'd put it there himself after the night I heard the prowler, but I'd almost forgotten it.
All right. Then what did you do?
Well, I took the gun. I went back out into the upstairs hall. All I had in mind even then was to go downstairs and get that phone. But when I reached the stairway, I heard someone moving down below, and I realized that whoever it was had already got in the house, that they were starting up the stairs. And I could see just a vague blur, dark shape against the shadows. I was petrified. I remember thinking, he's probably got a gun. And without even stopping to consider, I fired twice down the stairway.
Yes, Miss Parker?
I heard him fall. I knew I'd hit him. Mary screamed and came running out of her room. I found the switch and I turned on the lights. And then I saw what I'd done. It was Daddy.
I'm sorry, Miss Parker. And I'm sorry it's necessary for you to go back over this.
I'll be all right.
There was one thing that wasn't brought up at the inquest. Your father apparently tried to make a phone call from the railroad station that night, and he told the agent all he was getting was a busy signal. Could he have been trying to call here?
I don't know. I didn't know about it.
Would he be likely to call you, coming in unexpectedly that way?
Oh, he'd be more likely to call Jake Deagley. Jake runs a taxi service here.
Yes, I met him. Well, he might have tried that. But Jake was out at Sammy's place that night.
Well, the reason I say that is because Daddy would have known that our phone is usually off the hook at night.
Was it off that night?
Well, I don't remember. Maybe Mary knows. One or the other of us was always taking it off because we had to go clear downstairs to answer it.
Yes, Miss Luann?
Oh, Mary, the night Daddy was killed, do you remember whether the phone was off the hook or not?
Yes, Miss Luann, it was. I remember when I picked it up to phone the doctor. Well, I ain't sure if you left it off that night or I did, but it was off all right.
Thank you, Mary.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Mr. Dollar, what other questions do you have?
None, as a matter of fact. I did have several more, but you've already answered them indirectly. Thanks for cooperating. You're quite a girl, Miss Parker.
Oh, yes, I'm quite a girl. A girl who killed her own father. Goodbye, Mr. Dollar.
I meant exactly what I said to her. One way or another, she was quite a girl. Either she was one of the sweetest, bravest, and most honest kids I'd ever met, or she was one of the smartest, coolest little murderesses who ever walked the face of the earth. And I was very much afraid that I'd never be quite sure which.
Now, here's our star to tell you about the final intriguing episode of this week's story.
Tomorrow, one slip of fate, then the avalanche, and a wind-up that'll raise the hair on the back of your neck. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by Les Crutchfield, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Welcome back. Well, the way that Sammy talked, that was the most, man, the most. Seriously, well-written dialogue. Before I got into listening to old-time radio and watching more of the old-time television programs, I tended to associate this sort of conversation with the 60s. But I've heard that sort of dialogue from productions dating back to 1954, so it was earlier than that. Overall, it does appear that the way things are heading, it'll be an accident, but I wouldn't bet on it. Just because if everything turned out to be the way it seemed, we wouldn't be hearing this story. Plus a promise of a big finale on Friday, so you want to be sure and join us back there in 2 days. And join us tomorrow for Nick Carter. In the meantime, I do want to encourage you, follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. Become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. And be sure and rate the show on iTunes. We're only 8 ratings away from having 200 on the main feed, and so I'd appreciate it. An actual review is welcome but not required when you rate the show. But we'll see you on Friday. From Boise, Idaho, As a reminder to email me at box13@greatdetectives.net and follow us on Twitter @Radio Detectives. This is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.